Father, you are our living hope. And God, you know it has been our prayer that anybody who didn't know of this living hope, that today would be their day, that they could leave on this Easter Sunday of 2021 and have living hope within them. Holy Spirit, come and do the work that only you can do. And we pray this in your name. Amen. Amen. You guys can have a seat this morning. Let me tell you, you guys are alive for 7:30 crowd. This is awesome. I thought we were going to be having like this dead, very solemn crowd, but you guys, man, are clapping even. This is amazing. I'm so encouraged. Well, if you don't know, my name is Rick. I get to be the lead pastor here, and it's so good to have you guys here with us on this Easter Sunday. And we really do. We take those connection cards very seriously, the ones inside your bulletin, because that's the way that we get to stay connected to you in this time where it's hard to stay connected. And we ask that you let us know what's going on in your life on those connection cards, and so that we can be praying for you. And then you can just drop them in the offering boxes in the back of this room on your way out. Or if it's easier for you, just to text the word pray to that phone number that we always have, 401-496-9710. And there you'll follow that link and you can let us know how to be praying for you as well. Well, hey, we are wrapping up this whole teaching series that we've been doing for the past 8 weeks. And I don't know about you, but God knew it's what I needed during this time. And it's been on this idea of chasing hope, driven by faith. And the question that we are hoping, it's our hope that all of us are learning and understanding and being able to answer this very question right here. And that is, are you a person of hope? Are you a person of hope? Somebody who's living with hope, somebody who's filled with hope, someone who's sharing a message of hope. You know, we kicked this whole series off with this bucket right here, reminding us that internally all of us have a bucket, an internal bucket. And you can either continue to allow God to fill you with hope, or you can let life suck the hope right out of you. Because that's what life will do. And people will do this to you. You'll just be drained. And we looked at hope as a verb and we looked at hope as a noun. And remember, when we defined hope as a noun, what we said, that hope as a noun is about the person of Jesus. And this is why, that the type of hope that we've been talking about isn't just wishful thinking. The type of hope that we have been talking about isn't the type of hope of where we have been saying, you know, oh, I hope I can, or I hope she will, or I hope he will, I hope I get. Not that type of hope. The type of hope is this confident hope in who the person of Jesus is. And that's why we've been talking about this hope, the hope that we are to actively, to verb out, to take action on, our steps of action. And hope is taking steps of faith, confident in who the person of Jesus is. And that's what fills our hope. That's what fills our life. And that's what today really represents. Jesus' resurrection is hope. It's what I love to call third day hope. Because stop and think about that. Stop and think about those disciples who were filled with anxiety and hiding. And it was the women who had the courage to go to the grave. And there at that grave, when they showed up, as you heard Maggie just read, when they showed up there, they thought they were coming there for one purpose. Confused, no doubt, wondering what's going to happen now. But they came there for the purpose of bringing those spices to that tomb. And when they arrived there, they saw, there they discovered that third day hope. And what did they do? They got so excited that they ran back and they told Peter and they told the other disciples about this hope, about that he's not there. And they didn't believe, did they? And they went running back. In fact, do you remember, here's the words that we have in Luke, the way that Luke puts it. He isn't here anymore. He is risen from the dead. Remember what he told you back in Galilee. See, it didn't click with them until they showed up. And then here's what they were to remember, that the Son of Man must be betrayed into the hands of sinful men and be crucified, and that he would rise again on that third day. That's that third day hope. And when they brought this back to Peter, when they brought this back to John, when they brought this back to Andrew and to Philip and all these other disciples, they were like, we don't believe you. They had to go check it out for themselves. And John tells us that he outran everybody. He beat Peter to the tomb because that's what John is. That's his personality, right? And he tells us he outran everybody, and he was the beloved disciple, is what he said about himself, that Jesus loved men. And so he looks in there and it clicks. Peter, think about what Peter's feeling at this time. Peter, who had just denied him 3 days ago, he looks in there, and then Jesus shows up to Peter with third day hope. Remember when they were having breakfast on that seashore? Peter and Jesus invites them, hey, come and commune with me. Come and experience this third day hope. And there, Jesus looks into the eyes of Peter and says, feed my sheep. And he asks him this question 3 times. Why? Because Peter denied him 3 times. And he's reminding him of the hope that we have in the resurrection of Jesus, that there really is victory. That even when life doesn't turn out, this isn't how Peter had planned for things. And when Peter's world was upside down, Jesus looks at him and he offers him that third day hope. Do you have that third day hope? When we kicked this whole series off, we defined this whole idea of faith from the scriptures, right from Hebrews chapter 11 and verse number 1. Faith is the confidence that we hope for what actually happened, meaning what we hope who Jesus is. See, this is faith. Faith is this confident hope that we have in who Jesus is. And it gives us assurance about the things that we cannot see. I don't know what has sucked your hope out of your life. I mean, it's been a pretty tough year. All kinds of things have happened in this past year. And I don't know what has drained your hope. But here's what I do know. That Jesus wants to fill your life with hope. He doesn't want you to live drained of hope. He wants you to be reminded of who He is. He wants you to be reminded that He is hope. And even though it does not make sense to you, even though what you are experiencing is not what you would have hoped for, that He is still your hope, and your third day is coming. And I don't know if your third day is 3 months from now, or if it's 3 years from now, or if it's 30 years from now. But here's what I know, that you can experience the next 3 months, 3 years, or 30 years with hope. Because of who Jesus is. Because He is our hope. And then what we did in this teaching series is we read the very next verse. And here's what it said. Through their faith, the people in days of old earned a good reputation. And then the whole rest of Hebrews chapter 11 starts listing all these people of old, meaning of the Old Testament. And what we ended up doing over most of this series is we zeroed in on the book of Joshua, because it's about the leader of Joshua leading the people of Israel into the promised land. And remember the hope that they had to have, but it had to be led by steps of action. Remember that we talked about the Ark of the Covenant, and that was representative of God's power, of His presence, and of His redemption. But it wasn't enough. It wasn't enough for them just to have that among their presence. They actually had to follow the Ark of the Covenant. In the Old Testament, this is what they had to do. They had to follow that. And they had to have the faith to believe that the way that God was leading them, that they would follow through. And remember, before they could ever cross the Jordan, the priests who were carrying the Ark of the Covenant, their feet had to get wet before they would ever see that Jordan River part, and where they, you know, the 1+ million people of them could cross that Jordan River. And they had to take steps of faith, trusting as they kept their eye on the power of God, the presence of God, and the redemption of God, that that Jordan River would actually part. And that's exactly what they did, and they went across. But that didn't stop their steps of faith, because they were immediately hit with the Jericho. And there they had to march around the walls of Jericho for 6 days in silence. They did this by faith, following what God had called them to do. And remember, it was the seventh day where their steps of faith actually filled their hope bucket. Because it was on that seventh day, the walls actually came down. So maybe for you, it's not the third day, maybe it's 7 days. Maybe it's 7 months or 7 years, or maybe it's 70 years. But you and I have a people that we can look back on, and we can say they lived a life of hope, of faith, and they lived that by taking steps of faith and following Jesus. Are you taking steps of faith, filled with the hope, sharing a message of hope? That's why we're asking, are you a person filled with hope? Living with hope, sharing a message of hope, because that's what God has called us to do. And today on this Resurrection Sunday, we look at the old is done. The Old Testament, that old covenant is over with. There's a new covenant now. We looked at that last week, but today what we're going to do, take your Bibles and go to Hebrews chapter 10. That's where we're going to spend our time this morning. Hebrews chapter 10 and verse number 1. And right away, the Hebrew writer is telling us there's an old system that has been canceled. And because of this third day hope, there's a new covenant that is being ushered in. And he says in verse number 1 of Hebrews chapter 10, the old system under the law of Moses was only a shadow, a dim preview of the good things to come, not the good things themselves. The sacrifices under that system were repeated again and again, year after year, but they were never able to provide the perfect cleansing for those who came to worship. You see, under that Old Testament law, under that first covenant, it never provided the conscience and the shame and the guilt that the people carried for their sin. It never provided an ease of that. Why? Because every year, they had to trust that high priest was going to make it into that Holy of Holies and offer that sacrifice. And that happened year after year after year after year. But he says in verse number 2, if they could have provided, meaning those high priests, if they could have provided perfect cleansing, the sacrifices would have stopped, for the worshipers would have been purified once and for all time, and their feelings of guilt would have disappeared. This is how we know they still carried the guilt. But if we slide down to verse number 9, it says, and then he said, look, I have come to do your will. This is Jesus saying, God, I've come to do your will. He, meaning Jesus cancels the first covenant. Jesus canceled that Old Testament covenant. Why? In order to put the second one into effect. And again, that's what this resurrection day is all about. It was on this third day that this third day resurrection actually canceled the old covenant, and now it puts a new covenant into place. And here's why. Because this is God's heart for you, and this is God's heart for me. For God's will was for us to be made holy by the sacrifice of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all time. It wasn't something that needed to be repeated year after year after year like that old system. That's where the old system fell short. It needed to be repeated time and time and time again. And it did not purify the conscience of those who were living at that time. But do you know what does purify the conscience of those for us who are living at this time under this second covenant, under this new covenant? Well, look at the next verse, or verse number 12. But our high priest offered himself to God as a single sacrifice for sins, good for all time. That it was good. It covered all. With God, there is no time. Why? Because his sacrifice, Jesus' sacrifice, covered for all times of old, all present, and all future. This is what Jesus has to offer in this new covenant. And it was by his death that Jesus opened a new and life-giving way through the curtain into that most holy place, or that holy of holy place. Jesus wants you to experience a life-giving, a life that is filled with hope. And that's why our hope is in a person, not wishful thinking, in the person of Jesus. And that's life-giving. Are you? That's why we're asking, are you a person of hope? Are you living in a life-giving way in a nation that couldn't be more divided? You, as a Christ follower, are called to live in a life-giving way. Are you living like that? Our hope is not in politics. Our hope is not in policies. Our hope is in the person of Jesus. Verse number 21, and since we have a great high priest who rules over God's house, let us go right into the presence of God with sincere hearts, fully trusting him. Why? Because our guilty consciences have been sprinkled with Christ's blood to make us clean. Did you hear that? You do not have to carry a guilty conscience if your hope is put in the person of Jesus. If you carry guilt and shame, it's because you've placed your hope in the wrong place. On that connection card, the very first next step is for that person who has never placed their hope in Jesus. It says this. Take a look at it. Pull that out. Look at that. It says, I want hope. The new life, or the new start and life-giving way that only Jesus can give. Is this where you find yourself? Do you need a new life-giving way? Then I would encourage you, it starts in the person of Jesus. Let us know, indicate that on that connection card. And what you can do is just put your contact information on there. Again, drop it into the offering boxes that are in the back of this room. And we will definitely reach out to you and help you understand how to invite Jesus into your life so that you can live in this new life-giving way. Or if it's easier for you to text, then just text the word trust to that same phone number. And when you get that instant reply, you actually have to click on that link. So click on that link. And when you click on that link, that's when it asks you for your name and your phone number. And that's how we get that. So make sure you follow that step, and we will reach out to you. But for those of you who have already placed your hope in the person of Jesus, listen to what the author of Hebrews says in verse number 23. This is for you. Let us hold tightly without wavering to the hope that we affirm. Did you hear that? Let us hold tightly. Have you ever been on monkey bars? Have you ever went rock climbing? Have you ever went somewhere where it took everything that you could do to hold on to that grip? And you were holding as tight as you could. And here, because of life, because the author knows that life is hard. The author knows that life isn't easy. And here he's saying, man, you hold on to this hope that you have without wavering. This hope that you say you have in Jesus, Christ follower, he says, hold on to that hope. Why? Because God can be trusted to keep his promise. Whether it's 3 days, 6 days, 7 days, whether it's 6 months or 6 years or 60 years, God can still be trusted. And I don't know when your third day is. I don't know when your seventh day is. Or your seventh month, or your seventh year. I don't know what that is for you, but what I do know is that we can affirm the hope that we have in the person of Jesus. And when we find ourselves in difficult situations, When we find ourselves in hard times, hold tightly. This is exactly what Cameron, a teenager, did. I'm going to share his story with you in just a second. Cameron, though, and his parents, Stephanie and Gil, we're going to get to hear from them, and they held tightly when their world was turned upside down. They were holding tightly to the hope that they had in Jesus. Take a listen.
Once the ambulance came, I got onto like the hard board. They brought me into the ambulance, drove me, and I was sitting there for like hours on that thing, and it hurt so bad, just laying there, can't move. A lot of them just like coming in, kind of like doing tests on me, see if I have full motion, which surprised them. Most of them are like, this is like a miracle. Like, are you religious or anything like that? I'm like, yeah, I believe in God. And he goes, well, good, because you are like a huge miracle. So I'm sitting there, I'm like, I could have died.
It was kind of a weird thing that I was even home that day. I usually work away from home, and I happened to hear the boys splashing around and walked across the street and got in the pool. You know, the boys, I saw them really goofing around, you know, and I said, hey guys, I said, you know, please don't be diving in the pool like that. Someone's going to get hurt. No sooner did I say it out of my mouth, Cameron just dove in, and I knew by the way his feet came up, he went in pretty sharp. He came up out of the water, and I just looked at him, and I froze, and all I could see was his shoulders were up around his ears, and he was white. And he looked at me, and he said, I broke my neck. And I said, that's not funny. Don't play with me like that, you know. And I had this feeling in my stomach. I was just sick. All I remember is flashes of calling 911, them showing up so quickly, which was another God thing. So I'm kind of hyperventilating at that point, you know, and they just said, it's a good thing he's moving. We're going to put him on the board. We're going to get him to Hasbro. He said, but just so you know, COVID, they're only going to let one of you in. And I called my husband instantly because he's in the medical field, and I'm like, you got to go in. I need you there. I can't do this, you know?
So I was working in Fall River that day, and she had called me and told me what happened. And when I got there, I beat the ambulance there, and I was standing outside waiting because they wouldn't let me in the hospital without him. So it was two series of x-rays that night, and we were there. You know, we got to the hospital, I think it was about 3:00 in the afternoon, and by 6:00 in the morning, they're saying he did break his neck. And he broke one of the cervical vertebrae, C7, which is at the base of the neck, and T1, which is top thoracic vertebrae. And there were compound fractures, and they're stable. And so he said, you guys can either stay for a little while or you can go home. Like, you know, we're not going to do anything interventional wise. So we went home. An hour later, we got a phone call from Hasbro. It was the nurse, one of the nurse practitioners that works in the ER, and she had asked us to come back to the hospital. Like, what do you guys need? We just need more testing. I said, okay, well, can I wait till later? And she was like, I don't mean to alarm you, but no. Like, we really need you guys to come back as soon as possible. In fact, you never should have left the hospital. We had found out that the pediatric radiologist was looking at his films and saw that there were more fractures than what they had realized the night before. And so we'd found out that not only did he break C7 and T1, but there were more serious breaks that they couldn't see on the other diagnostic imaging. And in the end, we found that he broke C1 and C2, which is at the very base of the skull, holding the skull. And he also dissected and clotted off his right vertebral artery, which is one of the two arteries that feeds blood to the back of the brain. But miraculously, he didn't have any symptoms, which we still to this day cannot understand how that is. Most people who break the bones that he broke, meaning C1 and C2, typically are in a respirator and are paralyzed. And he had full strength, full motion the entire time.
We had at least, I lost track after 30 doctors and medical students coming in, every single one of them constantly doing neurological tests on him, shaking their heads. One of the major doctors over there had actually said, if one of you guys don't write a paper on this kid, he will have missed a major opportunity because they just couldn't wrap their heads around why he was able to breathe on his own, how he didn't lose consciousness, how he got out of the water on his own.
I'm just surprised. I was like, it's got to be from wrestling and football and all that stuff, because I kind of build up my neck pretty much with my weight and how I hit that bottom, and just like my neck was able to hold it out, and I'm like, no way, it's got to be God. It's just ridiculous. And hearing that, and I'm like, it's going to be a long road.
I can say that God showed up for us big in that time, because within a few days, somebody's like, I have a hospital bed, I'll give it to you, you know. And then in a couple days later, somebody goes, I have one of those grandpa launcher chairs, you know, the ones with the button in it. Literally, that was huge. But it was a lot of, he couldn't get up and move. They didn't want him walking on his own. It was hard because he's an athlete. He went from having wrestling practice in the morning to football practice in the afternoon to sitting in a chair.
Like at least 3 weeks after that, I had full motion in my legs. I could actually move by myself. I was actually bathing by myself. Well, sort of bathing by myself.
Mom outside the curtain.
Yeah. But, I was able to move everything. And my mind was like, all right, can I get downstairs to actually get in time to play with my friends? I mean, I was just taking it step by step, and it was kind of a small process, but...
But, I mean, with the incident happening at the end of July, last summer, I think by November, we were starting to phase you out of the collar, if I remember correctly.
Yeah, we got, like, a new collar.
Yeah, a new collar, and he was able to have a little more motion, as long as he wasn't pushing it. By Christmas, you weren't in the collar anymore. And I think by February, he had actually completed physical therapy. And he started going back to school in February.
Mind you, when we were in the hospital, they told us this was going to be a very long road. Like, they were looking at a year. Like, the prognosis we got when we left the hospital, it didn't look like we were like, okay, so maybe next September he can go back to school. We didn't think he was going to be back to school. We didn't I still think to this day the doctors just didn't know what to say about how quickly he healed.
His last appointment was January, and his bones were probably 3/4 of the way healed. Mm-hmm. Which is the vertebrae are pretty dense, so it was amazing that he had healed that quickly.
From the moment in the hospital with Gil and I sitting there, you know, praying, we instantly started to feel God's presence in that moment. You know, and when you get that type of prognosis, you automatically want to start freaking out and thinking of all the bad things. But no matter how many times I started thinking that, I kind of felt God kind of in my head, like, I I'm the ultimate healer. I'm the great physician. And I kept thinking to myself, you know, Cam's going to have this incredible story to touch somebody else that maybe is going through this. You just felt his presence throughout the entire thing. It was undeniable.
Seeing how it all played out and how God was involved all the way through, I mean, it gives me peace and hope, knowing that in a situation as serious as that was for us, and he can attest to this, it's if he's there throughout that whole process, there's... Any situation coming down the road is going to give us hope that, you know, we're going to get through it on the other end, and we have God to rely on.
I was just hoping that I was able to, you know, walk again, kind of like, you know, go hang out with friends, and I was like, God, I'm hoping that you could help me get through this, because this is super difficult, and he definitely did. I mean, each day was recovering faster and faster and faster. It was a matter of time I was able to walk and do things on my own. And now I'm able to actually go on the field and help my teammates and manage the team and all that. It's crazy how, like, the process, like, went by so fast. I couldn't even, like, play sports or anything. And I now have, like, a possibility of actually doing that again. And it's just 1 hour of just sitting there broken, and just sitting there to myself, like, why this could have happened to me. I mean, I had my family sitting there supporting me, and I was praying to God a lot, being thankful for what he's done for me, and it's just crazy.
The hope that we have when life hits us with these unexpected things. Now, your situation may be continuing to draw out, and maybe you're not having the recovery, if you will, that this family has been able to experience. But I want to encourage you, don't let go of the hope that you have in Jesus. Look at that other next step on your connection card. It says, I want to hold tight to the hope I do have in Jesus. Pray that I find my hope in Jesus so I can help fill other people's hope bucket. Did you hear Stephanie talk about her son and Cameron and how he's going to have a story that's going to encourage other people? I hope you were encouraged by that story. But think about the power of Cameron's story now, as Cameron will be able to share with his buddies. Oh, there's a hope in God. There's a trust in God. There's look what God has done in my life. That's what God has called us to do. He's called us to live a life that's filled with hope, sharing a message of hope. Are you living your life that way? He's calling us to. We want to pray for you. Will you text that word pray to 401-496-9710? And we would love to pray that you will come to your third day hope, no matter how long that may take. And then the author of Hebrews says this: let us think of ways to motivate one another to acts of love and to good works. That's sharing that message. Here's what we're called to do. We need to motivate each other. You know, you heard Sharina rehearse our mission of calling all people to love God, to follow Jesus, and to serve others. And that's the kind of church that we want to be. We want to be a church that lives with that third day hope, that we're filled with that third day hope, and that we're sharing that kind of message of third day hope wherever we go. And we're going to serve the communities and the towns around us. And this year, we're calling on May the 1st to be our serve day. And I'm asking you, won't you show up at Hopkins Hill Elementary School with us? Justin and Lindsay have already laid a great foundation for us, and they've been building this relationship there. Some of you have already volunteered. Pre-COVID, you were already volunteering in that school, just being a buddy, showing up and reading, playing chess games. And what we're going to do now, what they have asked us to do, is to show up and to serve them in this way. They said, hey, could you paint our annex building for us? And so on that Saturday, the May the 1st, we need a ton of you to show up to help us paint that building. But not just paint that building, they're asking us to put a fence around their playground. And so we need help in putting that fence up. And that's going to take an army of us who are filled with hope, who have a message of hope, who's willing to take it and to go serve in a community that you may not and maybe probably don't even live in. But that's the kind of life that God has called us to live, and that's the kind of church we're going to continue to be. And that's what that last next step on your connection card says. I will encourage others by serving Hopkins Hill School on May 1st. Again, indicated on the connection card, let us know, or you can text that keyword serve. And once you text that word serve to that number, you've got to click on that link and give us your name and your phone number. And we will get in contact with you about the details and all that. But as we wrap up, let's remember this. Let's be a people of hope. Let's be a people filled with hope, living with hope, sharing a message of hope. And God, we can't do this without you. And so we call upon you on this Resurrection Sunday. Will you allow us to live with this third day hope? We need it. Jesus, we need you to fill us. And so will you come and fill us and give us that message that we can share with others, that they matter, and that they too can live a life filled with hope.